Do you personally dislike homosexuals?
Of course, they are disgusting.
Senate Bill 1062 does not address a specific or present concern related to religious liberty.
The governor of Arizona is being bullied. She's being bullied by the homosexual lobby in Arizona and elsewhere.
They are jackbooted homo-fascist thugs.
Other states considering similar legislation are going to rethink whether this is actually a good political move.
It is starting to look like this one's over.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Courts in Zimbabwe and Zambia each acquit leading LGBT activists. Museveni defends the so-called science behind Uganda's anti-homosexuality law, but Arizona's bias license gets a gubernatorial no. Those stories and more this week, because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Jason Proctor.
And I'm Natalie Peebles.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending March 1st, 2014. We begin with some rare good news for sexual minorities in Africa. A magistrate this week threw out a case brought by the government of Zimbabwe against a leader of the country's leading LGBT advocacy group. Martha Tholana, co-director of GALS, Gays and Lesbians of Zimbabwe, was accused of operating the group without registering it under the Private and Voluntary Organizations Act. Police raided the GALS offices in Harare in August 2012, confiscating laptops, DVDs, and other property based on an anonymous tip that the group was engaged in questionable activities. Zimbabwe's High Court had already ruled that GALS was not required to register under the Organizations Act. Magistrate Donald Ndirwe said this week that he did not want his decision in the specific case against Tholana to contradict that ruling.
A prominent gay activist in Zambia was also acquitted this week. In his case, the charge was soliciting for immoral purposes. Paul Kasonkamona was arrested last May following a live television appearance during which he argued that private, consensual, adult gay sex should be decriminalized to further Zambia's fight against HIV/AIDS. Convictions under current law can bring up to 14 years in prison. But a magistrate ruled this week that the government had failed to prove its case that Kasonkamona was promoting homosexuality. The activist called his acquittal a landmark judgment and told Agence France-Presse that he would continue to speak out for the rights of all Zambians.
But the war against LGBT people in Nigeria and Uganda continues unabated. Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan signed an oppressive law in January that criminalizes not only civil marriage for lesbian and gay couples, but any individual or group that advocates for LGBT rights, and even public displays of affection between same-gender couples. Escalating assaults on perceived-to-be-gay men have been reported across the country. Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni signed his country's equally draconian Anti-Homosexuality Act into law on February 24th. In addition to also banning civil marriage for same-gender couples, one of the law's most notorious provisions punishes repeat convictions for private, consensual, adult gay sex with life in prison. Homosexuality remains against the law in most other countries on the African continent, including Ugandan's western neighbor Kenya. On the heels of passage of the anti-gay laws in Nigeria and Uganda, several Kenyan lawmakers and clerics are now calling for similar legislation. Activist Dennis Nzokia told Gay Star News that politicians will use any means to make sure they are elected, and nothing is more of an issue than homosexuality. There's a lot of anti-American European sentiment at the moment, he added. Especially because Russia has been so vocal on its anti-gay stance, the politicians think, we don't need Americans, we don't need Europeans, we can focus on other countries for help.
In the relatively more hospitable Middle Eastern nation of Jordan, however, 10 LGBT people that authorities said were attending a get-to-know-each-other gathering at a party hall in East Amman were arrested late this week. A security official reportedly said that the arrests were made to prevent a disturbance of the peace. although no specific disturbing the peace violations were cited. Homosexuality is not illegal in the conservative desert kingdom, but it is generally an unspoken social taboo. A recent human rights report by the U.S. State Department said that in Jordan, legal and societal discrimination and harassment remain a problem for women, religious minorities, religious converts, and members of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community.
Elsewhere, and just days after the Winter Olympics closing ceremonies in Sochi, the Russian LGBT Sports Federation tried to launch the Open Games in Moscow. More than 200 athletes from 11 countries were expected to compete this week in events ranging from skiing and basketball to table tennis. But a bomb threat forced Federation leaders and the honorary Games ambassador, out Olympic diving champ Greg Louganis, to move a kickoff media conference from inside a gay night spot to the building parking lot. Organizers were also scrambling for alternatives after being told at the last minute by three venues and a hotel, each with different reasons, that they would no longer be able to host participants or their respective events. According to the English language Moscow Times, a man who identified himself as a Federal Security Service employee set off a smoke bomb that prematurely ended the basketball part of the games. Organizers called it a belatedly failed attempt to intimidate the owners of the facility. And soon after games participants arrived at a public skating rink, the venue's management announced that all skaters had to leave because of technical problems with the ice. But Games honorary ambassador Greg Louganis echoed other participants in their determination to create a successful event. He said he still planned to participate in the table tennis competition.
The Southwest states of Arizona and Texas vied for top U.S. queer news story this week. After days of anticipation and with the eyes of the nation upon her, Arizona's conservative Republican Governor Jan Brewer vetoed a so-called religious freedom bill that would have sanctioned discrimination against LGBT people by businesses and individuals based on sincerely held religious belief. Brewer said in her veto announcement that after hearing from both sides of the issue, she came to the conclusion that
Senate Bill 1062 does not address a specific or present concern related to religious liberty in Arizona.
Several prominent Republicans, including Arizona Senator John McCain, three Republican state lawmakers who had actually voted for the bill, and even failed presidential candidate Mitt Romney, applauded Brewer for vetoing the measure. We'll have a lot more on this story later in the program. And the day after Brewer's veto announcement, the city council in Tempe unanimously made it the latest municipality in Arizona, joining Tucson, Flagstaff, and Phoenix to ban anti-LGBT bias in housing, employment, and public accommodations.
On the same day of Brewer's announcement, February 26th, a federal judge in Austin ruled that the Texas constitutional amendment defining civil marriage as exclusively heterosexual, overwhelmingly approved by state voters in 2005, was trumped by the U.S. Constitution. District Judge Orlando Garcia wrote that, "Today's court decision is not made in defiance of the great people of Texas or the Texas legislature, but in compliance with the U.S. Constitution and Supreme Court precedent." Agreeing with a growing number of federal district court decisions since the High Court's DOMA ruling last year, Garcia decided that, without a rational relation to a legitimate governmental purpose, state-imposed inequality can find no refuge in our U.S. Constitution. The judge stayed his decision pending an appeal by the administration of conservative Republican Governor Rick Perry, who complained shortly after the ruling was announced that, "This is yet another attempt to achieve via the courts what couldn't be achieved at the ballot box. We will continue to fight for the rights of Texans to self-determine the laws of our state."
U.S. District Judge John G. Hayburn ruled last month that Kentucky must recognize the marriages of gay and lesbian couples legally contracted in other jurisdictions, and he made that ruling final this week. The state itself banned marriage equality in Kentucky in 1998 and through a subsequent voter-approved constitutional amendment in 2004. Hayburn ruled in February that, "To the extent that state laws deny validly married same-sex couples equal recognition and benefits under Kentucky and federal law, those laws violate the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution, and they are void and unenforceable." The state had asked the judge to stay his ruling for 90 days to allow officials to prepare an appeal. But Heyburn instead this week gave Kentucky officials until March 20th to figure out how to implement it. While Heyburn limited his decision to civil marriages legally performed elsewhere, he seemed to open the door to a direct challenge to the ban in the state, writing that it is clear that Kentucky's laws treat gay and lesbian persons differently in a way that demeans them.
And finally, retired U.S. National Football League star and current TV network sports commentator Deion Sanders responded to a question by the host on the syndicated late-night Arsenio Hall show this week about openly gay pro prospect Michael Sam. The top defensive player in the toughest conference in U.S. college football came out last month. Sanders himself played for five different teams during his Hall of Fame career and has two Super Bowl rings from his time with the San Francisco 49ers and Dallas Cowboys. He told Hall that
he's not the first gay guy in the NFL. He's the first one to come out. Let's get that straight. Every team I played on, there was someone.
And did you always know who they were?
Yeah, we always knew, but he was cool. That was our boy. We had to look out for him. Every team I played on, I played on five different teams, there was someone gay in the locker room. If he could make plays, he could play the game.
I heard that. I like that too.
That's News Wrap for the week ending March 1st, 2014. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced by Steve Pride.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. I'm Jason Proctor.
And I'm Natalie Peoples.
I love your mountains, deserts, and streams.
They may love it, but does Arizona love its LGBT citizens? We'll try to answer that question later in the program. Uganda's infamous anti-homosexuality bill was signed into law by President Yoweri Museveni on February 24th. Carrying substantial prison terms for consensual adult gay sex, advocacy, or simply failing to report a suspected LGBT person, the new law has drawn harsh criticism from governments and human rights groups around the world. A few countries have already threatened to cut aid to the East African country, but Ugandan gay activists have expressed concerns about the negative effects of economic sanctions. Some LGBTs are trying to escape the country, and at least eight people have reportedly attempted suicide, three of them successfully. Museveni had delayed signing the bill because he said he was seeking scientific opinions on the cause of homosexuality. Several members of the committee that the president commissioned to prepare the report on sexual orientation resigned to protest what they charged was misquoting of their work. Could it be that Museveni relied more on information from U.S.-based evangelicals than from his own medical experts? He answered questions about the law, the science, and his personal feelings during an interview with CNN's Zane Verghe on the day he signed the bill.
Many people, even if they may not be the majority, regard it as their right to have free choice in choosing who they love, who they want to have sex with, and don't believe that the state should get involved.
It's not the state, it's the society.
But you signed it into law.
Yes, but I'm acting on behalf of the society. I'm not, it's not just the state, it's the society. And that's why I would like to advise the Europeans and the Western groups.
But what about the equality of an individual, as the Western countries would argue, to have the right to choose what they want for themselves? That just by virtue of being a human being, they have certain human rights and one of which is to express themselves freely in the way that they choose.
We cannot accept that behaving unnaturally is a human right. I was regarding it as an inborn problem.
A genetic link to homosexuality.
Genetic distortion. That was my argument. But now our scientists have knocked this one out. And once you argue that it is a question of choice, then really you have lost the argument as far as these Ugandans are concerned.
Do you think that by signing the bill, you're taking Uganda backwards?
Not at all, not at all. Uganda is where it has always been. The Uganda have never supported our society since time immemorial, have never supported homosexuals.
What is your message to Western human rights groups, to President Obama,
respect,
to lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people?
Respect African societies and their values. If you don't agree, you just keep quiet. Let's manage our society the way we see. If we are wrong, we shall find out by ourselves. Just the way we don't interfere with yours.
Do you personally dislike homosexuals?
Of course, they are disgusting. What sort of people are they? How can you go? I never knew what they were doing. That's how I've been told recently that what they do is terrible, disgusting. But I was ready to ignore that if there was proof that that's how he's born, abnormal. But now the proof is not there.
Is this about politics more than morality and religion or culture?
Not at all.
There are many critics that have said this is about 2016. This is about the elections, and the majority of people in this country support what you're doing. They support anti-gay legislation.
But why had I refused to sign it? Why had I refused to sign the bill if that was the case? I had refused to sign it because I wanted it, and I was not going to sign it. Maybe they would have changed it for me to sign it until I was confronted by the science, which I demanded from them. You show me whether.
But it's made you very popular, signing this bill, even more so than you are. There are people in this country that would vote for you because of what you did today. The MPs will win their seats because of what you did
today.
That's
not my intention. My intention was the truth, the facts, and what is good for our country, our society.
Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni was interviewed by Zane Virgi on CNN.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis, and you're listening to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine.
Arizona, take off your rainbow shades. Arizona, have another look at the world on my mind.
Suspense surrounded the U.S. state of Arizona's Senate Bill 1062 as the world waited to hear whether Republican Governor Jan Brewer would sign it into law. If she did, businesses would be able to use violations of religious belief as grounds to deny services to LGBT people, for example. Brewer finally announced her decision at a February 26th press conference.
I'm here to announce a decision on Senate Bill 1062. As with every proposal that reaches my desk, I give great concern and careful evaluation and deliberate consideration, and especially to Senate Bill 1062. I call them like I see them, despite the cheers or the boos from the crowd. I took the necessary time to make the right decision. I met or spoke with my attorneys, lawmakers, and citizens supporting and opposing this legislation. As governor, I have asked questions and I have listened. Senate Bill 1062 does not address a specific or present concern related to religious liberty in Arizona. I have not heard of one example in Arizona where a business owner's religious liberty has been violated. The bill is broadly worded and could result in unintended and negative consequences. After weighing all of the arguments, I have vetoed Senate Bill 1062 moments ago. To the supporters of this legislation, I want you to know that I understand that long-held norms about marriage and family are being challenged as never before. Our society is undergoing many dramatic changes. However, I sincerely believe that Senate Bill 1062 has the potential to create more problems than it purports to solve. I could divide Arizona in ways we cannot even imagine, and no one would ever want. Religious liberty is a core American and Arizona value. So is non-discrimination. Going forward, let's turn the ugliness of the debate over Senate Bill 1062 into a renewed search for greater respect and understanding among all Arizonans and Americans. Thank you.
Governor Jan Brewer's decision to veto SB 1062 was greeted by the religious right with steamy piles of invective against the bill's opponents, who were characterized by American Family Association mouthpiece Brian Fisher as
jackbooted homo fascist thugs. I'm not saying all homosexuals are like that. I'm talking about the homosexual lobby. They don't believe in tolerance. They are jackbooted homo fascist thugs who want to use the tyrannical and totalitarian power of the state to send men of faith to jail. And that frankly sounds a lot more like Nazi Germany than the United States of America.
Then there was syndicated right-wing radio talker Rush Limbaugh, whose own name-calling diatribe would be debunked by internet commentator Cenk Uygur of the Young Turks.
You notice here, folks, how bullying is a good thing? The governor of Arizona is being bullied. She's being bullied by the homosexual lobby in Arizona and elsewhere. She's being bullied by the nationwide drive-by media. She's being bullied by certain elements of corporate America in order to advance the gay agenda. I guess in that circumstance, bullying is admirable. This bullying business, in fact, nobody's even characterizing it as that. No, we're simply doing the right thing here. We're simply enforcing that which we demand. And if we have to bully, then fine. Because what we want is what counts. What we want is what is.
Has Rush Limbaugh ever said anything that wasn't projection? I mean, all he ever does is bully people. And now he comes out here, having never looked up the dictionary definition of irony or hypocrisy, says, like, can you believe these guys are bullying people, right? And he mentions the homosexual lobby that bullied Governor Jan Brewer. Well, let's take a look at a list of people who might be in that homosexual lobby who have come out in public and urged her to veto this bill. Senator John McCain, Republican Senator Jeff Flake, Steve Schmidt, who was a former McCain senior campaign advisor, Mitt Romney, Newt Gingrich, Matthew Dowd, former Bush campaign strategist, and by the way, state senators Bob Worsley, Adam Driggs, and Steve Pierce, who all voted for the bill and now are urging the governor to veto it in an unbelievable flip-flop. I guess those would be your Republicans in charge of the homosexual lobby.
While the Young Turks host Cenk Uygur took on the rabid right, Wall Street Journal News Hub anchor Simon Constable asked Emory University law professor Timothy Holbrook for his analysis.
The law was designed to allow business owners to refuse to serve LGBT members of the community. It was couched in terms of religious effect, that if you had a strong religious view that was contrary to the lifestyles of LGBT persons, then you could deny service to those individuals.
Okay, now what will be the ripple effect of this? Because Jan Brewer has struck this down saying, look, I haven't seen any instances in Arizona of religious freedom being impinged. So what will be the ripple?
I think other states considering similar legislation, such as here in Georgia, are going to rethink whether this is actually a good political move. I think we now see that trying to use the LGBT issue as a political wedge issue is losing favor. When you see courts in Utah, Texas yesterday, Oklahoma finding a right to marriage equality, it really signifies, I think, a significant change, societal change, in how we view the rights of the LGBT community in the United States.
So when this eventually comes before the Supreme Court, as no doubt it will or it could, I guess, how do you see it playing out? Do you see it playing out as, look, this is just, you know, religious rights are important, but so are inclusion of all members of the community?
I think it will come down to that, particularly when it comes to issues of legal rights. I think that when we stop people from discriminating, we think there's no rational basis for it. We've done this with race in the past. We've done this with religion, in fact. And so I think the idea will be that basically when you're talking about eliminating access or rights to gays and lesbians, that's something that the state is not going to be allowed to justify or sanction. And I think we'll see
now,
that.
One of the things that very, very quickly of this, one of the things we've heard about religious institutions is saying, hey, look, you know, we've got a prohibition against promoting gay marriage, and therefore we won't hire gay people. Is that going to be outlawed, do you think? What is your guess? And I realize it is a guess.
Yeah, my guess is no, that there will be some sort of safe harbor for religious institutions that really do have profound teaching against the fine lesbian gay community to be engaging in sinful conduct that's contrary to the religious views.
Wall Street Journal News Hub anchor Simon Constable went to Emory University professor Timothy Holbrook for a legal analysis of Arizona's SB 1062. We'll go to MSNBC's Rachel Maddow for a postscript.
We've now seen similar religious freedom / discrimination bills tabled or vetoed or deferred or withdrawn in Kansas and Tennessee and Ohio and Utah and Idaho and Oklahoma and now Arizona and now Georgia and now Mississippi. Nine state governments have been evaluating this type of legislation. In a number of them, it was racing through Republican-dominated legislatures. But in nine states, all of a sudden, just in the last few days, and in some cases just in the last few hours, those states have either decided that it's playing a little too fast and loose with civil liberties, or more likely that they saw the firestorm that was unleashed in Arizona and decided, no thanks, we don't really want to deal with that. It's never over till it's over for things like this, for this experiment in conservative governance. But if these nine states are anything to go by, and nine states is a pattern, it is starting to look like this one's over.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. This week, Jason Proctor and Natalie Peoples contributed program material. Thanks also to Steve Pride and Greg Louganis. Julia Kanyomozi and Mark Lindsay performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by a grant from the Yavanna Foundation and by the generosity of our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org for program, donation, and subscription information, and for podcasts and social media links. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email TWORadio@AOL.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 2NCR South Lismore, New South Wales, WTND Macomb, Illinois, KUOI Moscow, Idaho, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.